It's great to be with you all here today, and it's great to see all of you decide to come to services this evening. It's great to see those who put Christ and God over those things of the world. Certainly today has been a good day. I'm sure most of you have had a day like mine. We spent most yesterday opening gifts, as it's been Roman's first Christmas, but we didn't have so many today, but we opened a lot yesterday. Our day was filled with just getting new toys, new things, new material things. And those are certainly great days as I look back at my own life and the gifts that I've received. I remember a lot of them, and a lot of them, I'm sure, that are here this evening can think of a gift that you got that stands out above all the rest. While I was thinking of these things and thinking of Roman and his first gifts, kind of made me think about the spiritual gift that we've been given. You know, certainly we were given as children big gifts, small gifts, great gifts, not so great gifts. We've been given a lot of different gifts, but God has given a gift that is greater than all of these things. And I'd like to talk about that gift this evening. We talk about grace. And that's a hard word for us to kind of comprehend. Many a times we're given the definition of God's unmerited favor. And I think that's a very good definition for it, but it's more than that. It's more than that. When words are hard to describe, how a God who is greater than us, a God who deserves our praise, who deserves everything, and how a God like He is can still care about us when we turn our back on Him, when we do things we ought not to do. He still cares. He's still laid out a way for you to be with Him. And that's really what grace is. And you think of grace, and I can think of several examples, and we can look at the Old Testament and the New. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were led out of Egypt. God did a great thing for them. God cared about them and His relationship with them and their relationship with Him. What do? They go and they murmur and they complain. But every time they murmur and they complain, God gives them what they need. God gives them what they ask for many a times. And many a times the Israelites don't understand how great this gift that they've received. They didn't appreciate God's grace. Other examples, God had taken the Israelites out of bondage from the Babylonian Empire, brings them back, and they rebuild the temple. They rebuild everything. What do we see? They still turn their back on Him every step of the way. That's God's grace. He still gives, even when we are not willing to worship and please Him. And the New Testament's no different. God sent Christ, His only Son, to die on the cross for us. Did we deserve it? No. In fact, many of those that lived during Jesus' time, they displeased Him. They did things they ought not. They spit in Christ's face. They beat Him. They mocked Him. They murmured. Yet God still loved them to send His Son to die for them. I want us to look at Titus chapter 2, and we'll look at verses 11 through 14. I want us to see some things that God's grace does for us today. You'll hear a lot of people give you some strange ideas of what God's grace covers and doesn't. But most of the time, we should look to the Bible to see what God's grace does. In Titus chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 11 through 14. I want us to start in verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. First thing God's grace does is it brings salvation. Brings salvation to all men. It doesn't matter who you are, where you've come from. God's grace is freely given. And it brings salvation. Christ is the one who brought that salvation to man. I want us to notice in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verses 23 through 24. Again, Paul is going to talk about this grace that God has given. Notice verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No person is able to stand in the presence of God clean in His sight. But God has set up a way for us to do so. 24, verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. There is no other way to obtain salvation. God's grace is the only way. Christ is that grace that God has extended to man. But notice, it's not only those things we know about grace. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. We sang a song, God's love is freely given to us. Notice what Paul says in Ephesians about God's grace. Verses 8 and 9 of chapter 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's not something you can work for. It's not something that you can apply. You can put yourself and obtain salvation and grace on your own merits. It's something that's given to, by God to you. Just like we were given gifts today, grace is a gift that's freely extended to all mankind. Grace brings salvation. Notice back in Titus chapter 2, look at verse 12. Another thing that grace does for us. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. I love these verses because they give us things we should shoot for. He starts off at the beginning telling us what not to do. Notice at verse 12, denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Those are some tough things to deny. But we're shooting for Christ-like behavior. We have to deny ungodliness, living a life that's not worthy of God. We've also got to deny worldly lust, the things of this world that want to take the place of God in our hearts. Notice, though, it doesn't end in that verse. He tells us what we ought to shoot for as well, how we should live. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Living soberly meaning keeping our mind focused on living like Christ. Righteously, obviously living in a right manner in front of God and man. And godly, living as God would have us. Certainly, grace teaches us that. Where would we know these things if it wasn't with God's Word? It truly is God's grace that we have this Bible that we can read and we can study it. If you want to know more about God's grace, get into this book. Study it more. Apply it to your life. Notice the last thing in verses 13 and 14 of Titus 2. Grace gives us hope. Reading in verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Notice in the beginning, we're supposed to, that gives us a hope of eternity. In verse 13, looking towards the appearing of Christ. That's something we're supposed to look forward to for all eternity. Christ is going to come back one day, and we have a hope of what's going to happen after that day. All Christians have that hope, but notice, we have a hope that we should be shooting for here while we're on the earth. And as we look at verse 14, we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be a special people, zealous for good works. That's a hope that we have for this life here. You know, talk to a lot of people outside of the church, and they say, you know, there's really not much good of being a Christian. You're told what you can't do, and you're told that you can't do this and you can't do that. There is some hope in that. We're different from this world. We're not held down by the things this world holds dear. We're not held down by the things that the world does on a daily basis. But we're different. We're a royal priesthood. We're a special people in Christ. That's what grace does. It brings hope for all people who are inside of God's grace. This evening, you might not be in God's grace. You may not have understood this. You may not have understood that God has extended his grace to you. But there it is. It's another gift that you have. Are you going to open it this evening? Are you going to become a child of God? Christ lays it out very simple through the New Testament, what a person needs to do to become a Christian. You need to hear the gospel. You've heard it this evening. You need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You need to repent of your sins, turning away from what you used to do, turning away from what used to rule your life, and turning over to God and living your life out that way. You need to confess that Jesus is the Christ in front of everyone here, but also in front of everyone in this world, living in confession all your life. You need to become a person of God. And finally, you need to be baptized. In full immersion. And I love that Paul continues his thoughts on here. If you look in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, I want you to notice what he says someone who wants to become a Christian needs to do. Titus chapter 3, 4 and 5. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, towards man appeared, there's grace. Verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. How? He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. That's baptism. That's the point that you become someone under God's grace. There is no other way. If you've not done these things, do so tonight. Might be the case that you once were under God's grace, but you chose to go outside of it. You chose to go back into a world of sin. Today needs to be the day you make things right with God as we stand and as we sing.
Would you be free from the burden of sin. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.